You are now tuned into CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, BC. Want to know more about the channel? Find us online at cjsf.ca.
Live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. Suds. It's time for more suds.
Welcome, everyone, to another suds segment where life is like a pony keg. You may not get as much out of it as you hoped, but if it's filled with the good stuff, you'll still be satisfied when it kicks. But,
No, we're not doing that.
Okay, fine. I'm one of your hosts, good old gal Juliana. And joining me today at the table is good old boy Kendall.
Good afternoon. It's a pleasure to be here.
So excited.
I am too.
Reverend Mark, hello.
Hello, hello. Good to be with you all.
And then there's
this guy.
Good old boy Dave.
I like this.
That's just my new catchphrase.
Of course it is. Of course it is. Well, on a recent trip up to Pennsylvania.
Is that how like every episode starts?
Yeah, I feel like I'm saying that quite often. Anyways, Dave and I stopped at this amazing bottle shop where we found, among other things, collections of IPAs from Prison City Brewing in Auburn, New York. For those of you that may not know, we're Auburn, New York is
the very tip top of the state. It's like the northernmost point of New York State.
It's the most eastern part of the Finger Lakes. There's a lot of Finger Lakes. Some are longer than others.
I have heard that before.
That's the one that's...
There's your comic rim.
Thank you. That's very sweet. Okay. Good old boy Dave, why don't you read some words and tell us about them?
Yes. From the home of the middle finger. I'm just kidding. Welcome to Auburn, New York, a place known by another name, Prison City. No one gets out. This intriguing moniker has become synonymous with the rich history and unique character that our city holds. Nestled within this captivating locality is Prison City Brewing, a local gym established in 2014. Since its inception, our brewery has been committed to crafting exceptional beers that reflect the spirit of Auburn and captivate the taste buds of beer enthusiasts near and far. At Prison City Brewing, we pride ourselves on creating an experience that goes beyond simply offering a refreshing pint. We invite you to join us on a flavorful journey where each sip unveils layers of craftsmanship, passion, and the undeniable charm of our beloved Prison City. Just so you know, Auburn is called Prison City because of the Auburn Correction Facility, which was built in 1816, the year Reverend Mark was born.
Yep, pretty
it's
close.
It's been the home of mobsters, serial killers, and it was also the location of the first execution by electric chair.
Wow.
Incidentally, if you live in New York State and drive a car or truck, your license plate was probably made there.
Wow. Nice little fun fact at the end.
Yeah.
Look at you stamping with the Google out them machine.
Ka-chunk, ka-chunk. How many murders are committed people getting crushed by a license plate machine.
That almost sounded like the opening to Laverne and Shirley. But anyways.
We're going to do it.
Okay. Well, good old boy Kendall, why don't you give us today's lineup?
Happy to. The Prison City Brewing beers we'll be tasting and discussing today are Haze On, a hazy IPA. Mass Riot, a New England IPA. So Stupendous, also a New England IPA. See a pattern here?
I like how they're distinguishing between New England IPAs and hazy IPAs.
That's a good discussion point for later. Riot in Maine, a double New England IPA. Linus Loves Juicy, a New England IPA.
Great name.
Citra Oasis, a hazy double IPA. And here we go, a hazy IPA.
Cool. Right?
Interesting pattern.
Yes.
Lots of IPA.
Yeah.
Okay, Reverend Mark, why don't you give us the suds ratings for today?
Okie doke. Glad to. Today we'll be discussing and rating these beers with these suds ratings, plus our signature belching sounds. Here are the ratings. Number one, that sucks. Give me anything but a butt. Number two, was that a belch? Number three, what a relief. Number four, a body should really not make that sound. And number five, listen to that hang time. Give me another.
Great job, Reverend Mark.
Woohoo! Okay, let's get to the first beer. First of all, I'm going to say the website is decent. Yeah, I like it.
It's pretty good.
It's not bad. And the first beer that we are going to talk about is Haze On, which is a hazy IPA. And I love the label on it. They actually make a shirt, a button-down shirt, with this logo, which is kind of cool. Great. Yeah. You know, the bikeriness in all of us would appreciate that.
Bikeriness?
It's a word. I know. Okay, 6.1% ABV. A wise man once said, the more you F around, the more you find out. We decided to F around with some Cryopop hop blend and found out it makes beer delicious. Also featuring Simcoe and Citra, the beer is an absolute parade of juicy tropical goodness. And this took silver at last year's New York State Brewers Association craft beer competition in the hazy IPA category,
which was held at Auburn Correctional Facility, cell block 3.
Okay.
And we know why they're all hazy beers, because you can pass contraband.
That's right.
Into the prison without it being detected.
Yeah.
If it's hazy enough.
Yeah, can't see it.
Ooh,
can't see the shiv. Till it's in you.
Is it shank or shiv?
It depends on what part of the country you're
to
in.
To shank or to be shivved.
That's right.
Ooh. Okay. Thoughts?
The color kind of concerned me at first. You know, a lot of hazies are that really golden yellow color.
This one's
color.
Got a little bit of orange.
It's a little orange and maybe even bumping up against just kind of dull brown.
Yeah.
But I was afraid that was going to come across into this big, like, caramelly sweet flavors or something. Yeah. And it's not. This is still a pretty good beer. It just looks weird.
Yeah. It's pretty bright.
And I wonder if, like, where this was in the packaging, like, you know, the can that we got, like, from the beginning of the, you know, drain versus, you know, as it was being packaged, like, are we getting something towards the end or I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. It might just be a, you know, the malt choice they use, it's like make it a little bit darker just to make it a little bit distinctive, because we've got a bunch of other hazy beers here. So we might see either a pattern or quite a diversity of the color in them.
Sure, mm-hmm. Sure. It's
I like it.
Tasty.
Mm-hmm.
And what I like about it is the tropicalness in it is not overwhelming.
No.
It's there.
It's subdued.
Mm-hmm. But you're also getting some like forest floor and... It's a nice balance.
I like the Simcoe,
Citra?
Citra, yeah. The Simcoe Citra. Mm-hmm. Those really work well. together.
Yeah, they do.
A cryopop. I don't.
Well, that's,
I like that.
That's new. Yeah. But yeah, this is easy. Very easy drinking. And I like that it's not too far into the citrus or tropicalness. You know, this is kind of like where my palate wants to sit nowadays, is not too far tropical and not quite full West Coast, but, you know.
Yeah, you don't need your mind blown with every pint. Like, oh, my God, there's so much coconut and mayo. Right.
And not too resiny, you know, because, right. You could get palate fatigue with a lot of these, but this one doesn't seem to be so much.
Yeah, it doesn't go too far in any direction. It's a nice balance.
No, and I can see why this meddled, you know. Yeah. But if you're looking for something that has some pineapple in it, this is a nice pineapple, as opposed to some others that are out there.
I'm thinking maybe that malt choice that gave it this color is part of a design that just like, hey, let's balance out those tropical flavors with a little bit, because you know you're drinking a beer here.
Yeah.
A lot of hazies, you don't really get any malt
character. Am I drinking juice?
Right, yeah, so you're just drinking juice.
This is really nice and balanced, and you do have a beer here.
Yeah. Cool.
6.9, you said?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, 6.1.
Oh, that's even more impressive.
Yeah, because it packs a lot of punch for what it is, you know? Yeah.
I agree.
All right. Well, we are going to rate this a 4.
All right. Good start.
Way to go out the gate with Haze On. Okay. The next one that we're going to talk about is Mass Riot. Hmm. Now, if you look at the can, it has the state of Massachusetts. It's got a dog. It's got a ship. And so I would assume that this is an homage to the state of Massachusetts.
The many, many nice NEPAs that come out of it.
Right. Right. Yeah. This is 6.8% ABV. Arguably their most famous beer to date. Back in the day, they used to put this bad boy in crowlers and sell out in a day. And this has meddled a few times as well over the years. But this has been around since like at least 2016. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. Hmm. And a different color, Kendall, would you say, from the first
one? Very much. Yeah. Yep. No, what I would expect out of a New England IPA.
Yeah. We'll be back with more in just a minute.
Clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Welcome back, everyone. Today is a brewery takeover from Prison City Brewing.
I'm Ron.
So I wanted to make sure. Yes. In Auburn, New York. And right before the break, we started talking about the second beer in our series, which is called Mass Riot. It's a 6.8% NEPA. Hazy, juicy treat loaded with Simcoe, Citra, and Mosaic hops. So what does everyone think of it?
I really like this beer. It's like the last one. It's very balanced.
It's a little spritzy.
Yeah.
There's none of that hop burn you get in some of these beers.
It's a little more of like what you would expect from, and I guess this is a great time to say, like, what's the difference between a hazy IPA and a NEPA? All NEPAs hazy, but not all hazies are NEPAs.
Right.
Right.
So I think the Nipah has that big creamy mouthfeel thing going. They're very juicy. They have almost no bitterness. And I think you can get a hazy IPA where you start cranking up the bitterness level and it's more traditional IPA flavors. But I don't know if there is a big difference.
I think that gets really close to how I'd differentiate that in my thinking or on my palate. I do think with the Nipahs, there is a softness usually through the addition of oats.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's consistent throughout. With other kinds of hazies that are not necessarily Nipahs, it could be a West Coast with just some extra haze in there through adjuncts or whatever, you know, and a little bit more tropical, perhaps.
Should Nipahs only be made in New England?
Well, it's like saying should bourbon only be in Kentucky. Maybe the influence, the kind of the style parameters were established there, but I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, maybe like calling it a hazy is a good out. Like, oh, you're in, you know, Wyoming. Why are you trying to make a Nipah? Oh, it's a hazy.
Yeah, I gotcha. But if you're in New York State, you can get away with either because you're, you know, there.
You know, we were just looking at, like, it was kind of weird that half of their beers are Nipahs and half are hazies.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, pick one.
So I'm curious to see what the pattern is after we get through a few of these, because there is a difference between these two beers.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, totally. Like, to me, I'm getting like this champagne-y effervescence, mm-hmm. almost like
it's a
mimosa.
Lot softer and lighter.
You know, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I'm really like, could this be breakfast? I think so. You know what I mean? Because it's a different kind of juicy. But I'm enjoying it, and there's no like sharp aftertaste. It finishes nice and it's easy, and it makes me want more. Now, does this taste 6.8% to you?
No.
Right? I don't feel.
No, it's quaffable.
Yeah. I mean, not that there's a big difference between 6.1 and 6.8, but I feel like this is very easy drinking.
After about three or four, there probably is.
Well, that's a whole different ball of wax. Yes. So what shall we rate this? Solid 4.
All right.
There you go.
Party continues.
Okay. Yes, the party continues with the next one, which is called So Stupendous. Very colorful can art with a rhino on it and a tiger. Interesting. This tasty beer is brewed using Strata, and Citra, mm-hmm. a graphic translation of passion fruit, sticky ganja, so they're told, grapefruit, mango, and guava. Okay, and this one is classified as a Nipah at 6.7.
This one's a little more subdued to me.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Still very light, very spritzy.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. But spritzy, but soft at the same time.
Right. I'm not getting the strong aromatics that I normally associate with the Nipah, or at least some of them. But it's easy drinking and has those citrus flavor to it.
Yeah, this one has a little more resin to me.
A little tropical, but I do get a little, resiny bitterness. There is a little bitterness on the finish of this one.
Should this one be called a hazy and not a Nipah? I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
But
it
does have that nice pillowy mouthfeel.
It does. It's got the really soft mouthfeel.
Mm-hmm.
But I like it. Just kind of a general tropical, not any one thing stands out in particular to me, but.
No, but I mean, when you're talking about mango, guava, and passion fruit.
Just all kind of blends.
They're kind of similar, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I know they're different and different looking, but they all blend together and you can almost drink it as one and think it is one. You know what I mean? And I guess the grapefruit just to give a little acidity, but I'm tasting like grass, you know, and I guess that's the sticky ganja. You know what I mean? That helps to make it kind of soft. I don't know. Reverend Mark, what do
there,
you think?
That's a perfect, it's grass, it has a grassy, and not in a bad
sense. No, not in a bad way, but, mm-hmm. and I find
fresh,
it kind of
chlorophyll kind of green.
Yeah, exactly. But I kind of, but I'm digging it though, because I don't know that I taste something like this a lot. Usually you're just like overwhelmed and bombarded with like citrus or tropicalness.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
This is neat.
Yeah, you know? I like this one a lot. Yeah, I think this is a really good beer.
And so far, I think this is a nice showcase of like three different, different taste profiles.
Yeah. Very different, yeah.
Yeah.
And I haven't been drinking NEIPAs lately that many, so this is kind of nice to sort of pace into a few new ones.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I'm sure it's safe to say we've all been like Pilsner-y and, you know, into that vein of things lately. So
I'm on a lager binge.
Yeah, right? So this is quite pleasant.
Yes. Yep.
Cool.
Quite.
Okay. And what shall we rate so stupendous?
Well, we can go there.
Okay. We're going to go 5 on this one.
Well,
all right.
Well, it was. It lived up to its name.
Very nice.
Stupendous. Yeah. Yeah, it really is so far. Mm. Okay. I think it's time for story time.
Tell us a story, people.
Oh, no. Yeah, gather around, children. Well, I want to tell you something. It's just up on the AP wire. It's about a Japanese town that's battling tourists by installing a screen to block, get this, Mount Fuji. What?
What?
Yep.
What?
Heard about this.
The place is called Fuji Wakachito. I think that's the
nice
way
place.
It goes. It,
yeah.
It, and it's a town that has lots of scenic spots of the iconic mountain Fuji. Mm-hmm. But misbehaving foreign tourists are triggering a wave of concerns and complaints from the residents around.
It's always the tourist.
Yep. So, known for a number of scenic spots off that near-perfect shot of Japan's iconic Mount Fuji, the town, Fuji Wakachito, and we used to say that really quickly as Pentecostals to kind of get in the spirit.
Wow.
I thought that was just a flavor of Cheetos.
Fuji Wakachito on Tuesday began constructing a large black screen on a stretch of sidewalk to block the view of the mountain. The reason? Misbehaving foreign tourists.
Okay, but like...
Well, that's a bit of a... It's a bit of a... Yeah.
Aren't you hurting your own economy?
Yep. Isn't that why they're there in the first place?
Right.
Yeah. So it's a bit of a redundancy when you say misbehaving foreign tourists. But...
That's true. It's but probably the Americans that are...
I was going to say, that's a Western bias too, I suppose. So... Kawachito is a town that is built on tourism. The mayor of the town. The reason why they're saying that they're erecting the screen is because of foreign tourists, and so it is a town, of course, that is built on tourism, and it is said that they welcome the visitors, and the town welcomes them too. But there are many things about their manners that are worrying. This was voiced by a local cafe owner nearby, Michi Motochi, who is the who likes to sell Japanese sweets near the soon-to-be-blocked photo spot. Motochi mentioned littering, crossing the road with busy traffic, ignoring traffic lights, trespassing into private properties. Now, she isn't unhappy, though. 80% of her customers are foreign visitors whose numbers have surged after the pandemic hiatus that kept Japan closed for about 2 years. Her neighborhood suddenly became a popular spot about 2 years ago, apparently after a photo that was taken in a particular angle showing Mount Fuji in the background, as if sitting atop a local convenience store. It became a social media sensation known as Mount Fuji Lawson. Well, the mostly foreign tourists who have since crowded the small area, triggering a wave of concerns and complaints from residents about visitors blocking the narrow sidewalk, taking photos on the busy road, and walking into neighbors' properties. In Europe, concerns over tourists overcrowding historic sites led Venice last week to launch a pilot program to change day trippers a €5, which is $5.35, entry fee. Authorities hope it will discourage visitors from arriving on peak days and make the city more livable for its dwindling residents.
Okay, so hold on. All right, so Fuji...
Wakachito.
So they're known for one thing, which is basically you can get a good shot of Mount Fuji.
Right.
Like, and they're going to build a giant...
And they're like, no. So instead of, I don't know, like building a... like a designated photo spot or maybe a crosswalk or a few things, we're going to just block it out.
Totally get it. I heard this on the radio, and it sounds like it's a bunch of crazy Gen Z TikTokers from all over the world coming to take pictures. And I, after hearing this story, I kind of felt sorry for the people of Fuji Wakachito.
These Gen Zers, man. Like, and
it's being a Nashvilleian too. I can understand putting up with annoying tourists. So I get where they're coming from.
Him, like even well, you say that. Like Julianne and I've been, we'll go driving downtown or driving through downtown, not to go to downtown. But like people will stand out in the middle of the street to take a selfie of like something in the background,
and there's no regard to traffic or what they're obstruct. Like,
And you hear about people like falling off cliffs trying to take a selfie or like a lot. That's actually like happening a lot. Or people getting attacked by animals because they wanted to take it like, look, there's this giant lion in the, in the background. And, it's getting closer.
The internet has made us dumber.
Yeah. I think it's a story of scale that kind of interests me, too. That is, Mount Fuji is this huge iconic mountain, and yet it's being eclipsed, if you will, by technology. It's just scary.
Yeah, that's wrong.
I think they should just do what Mexico does and throw them in jail, and then make them pay $1,000 to get out. That'll boost your local economy, and improve behavior.
Yeah. I guess what they need to do is find somebody who is Instagram or social media savvy and find another place to take a photo that's not going to ruin it for the local.
Because what I'm afraid of now is that instead of people coming there to take their picture at Mount Fuji, they're going to come there to take their picture at the giant black screen that blocks Mount Fuji.
Yeah, and then superimpose a picture.
Yeah, and then say this is where, you know, this is wrong or whatever.
This is where you used to be able to see Mount
Fuji. Just find somebody who's super popular. Find another spot where you can get a beautiful view, but that's away from the town so that everyone can be normal, and then have that blow up and like make something up.
Where's Mr. Beast when we need him?
Yeah, right.
You know, help us, Mr. Beast. Help Fuji Wakachito.
Wow. Yeah.
All right.
I'm just depressed that we can all say Fuji Wakachito.
Fuji Wakachito.
Already, and we're just three beers in.
I know.
Hey, yeah. Things are looking up.
All right. I think this could be a drinking game that people do when they listen to this episode.
Yeah.
Every time someone says Fuji Wakachito. I see.
There you go.
Yes.
Fuji Wakachito. Drink.
And can you touch your tip of your nose with your finger?
There's no touching.
I like this.
We're past that point. Well, okay. Right. Well, Reverend Mark, thank you so much for that awesome story.
Bringing the news of the world and the plight of the people of Fuji Wakachito.
And I hope I got the phonetics right. I think I did.
I think you did. I think it was perfect. Okay, so the next beer that we are going to talk about is Riot in Maine. Riot in Maine is a double NIPA that is 8% ABV. Their New England tour continues. Citra, Mosaic, and Simcoe hops pair nicely against an English malt backbone. This DIPA is nothing but net. Ha ha. And on the cover of this is, or on the cover, listen to me, the can art is the state of Maine.